Greetings, this is James Gillen with Azure Wish Talk Radio, also eSETI Stargate, and we're on Rumble and VMO and a few other channels we're working on. We won't be posting anything on YouTube. We got demonetized for not posting anything on YouTube. They just demonetize us anyway, because we stopped posting on there for a while. But obviously they're listening to our other shows and we probably pissed them off, you know, so talking about what we're not supposed to be talking about, which is probably what we're going to do tonight too. But we've got Danny with us, and she's got the galactic and spiritual informers connection coming up October 21st and through the 23rd in Orlando, Florida, I believe. Tony Rodriguez on as well. He's going to be speaking there. So I want to just jump in. I usually do a new segment at the beginning of the show, but it's all Kabuki theater right now. All you got to do is take the white hat off the white hats and the dark hat off the dark hats and switch them, and then and reverse everything you hear on mainstream news, and then you'll have the truth. Right now, because it's all theater. It's beyond ridiculous. But when you watch what's going on, you go, nobody could be that stupid. This has to be theater. And so that's all I'm going to say about the news. God, it was just like, and then, you know, we're not supposed to talk about that, you know, so we'll get in trouble for the jab. So we won't talk about the 20 million people that have died from it and the 20 something billion adverse effects, you know, that are going on.
Talk about what's actually happening in the world.
Exactly. So anyway, tell us a little bit about your conference coming up first. I wanted to cover that, and right off the way, we'll cover it again in the end. But how do people find out more about the conference? Who have you got speaking there, and how do people sign up?
Okay, so, and it's like final days to get a ticket, because we're closing the gates, like literally. So, because the conference is coming up next week. So it's the biggest conference on planet Earth in terms of disclosure. The speakers that we have around the world, including you, James, including you, Tony Rodriguez, are the most renowned, the longest term veterans, the books, the ranches, the real life, real time proof. They didn't pop up 20 minutes ago. They are the veterans of disclosure, and they're all coming together. And the way for people to get to it, just get to the website. It's galacticspiritualinformers.com. That's it. galacticspiritualinformers.com. You can get the Eventbrite ticket link right there. The speakers, the lineup is off the charts. We have James Gilliland, screen left. He's going to be sharing his latest global Aseti Ranch mothership, scout ship, phase in, phase out. I've seen the video footage. Oh my God. I couldn't even put my coffee to my lips when I clicked it today. When I got it, I'm like, I was stuck, like paralyzed. So you're coming on because you're building your new ranch on the Big Island, etc. You're so busy. We're so grateful, James, that you said yes to us. Thank you so much. We're going to be zooming you in live to the audience, but once we've played your incredible footage. And then Tony Rodriguez here, this man sold into a satanic family as a little tiny boy, abducted, sold into Earth military. Yes, all the militaries know what they're doing. All these programs are out there. Everyone's talking about it. There are no more secrets. This is full disclosure. Tony's going to be on stage sharing his stuff. Well, Tony, why don't you tell us what you're going to talk about, mate?
When you go right into it like that, it's like immediately not love and light for people. So a lot of people are shocked by it, but I think it's important. I think that it's not everything. What I went through wasn't everything. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a pie slice of the reality. And I think it's important. You have to remember all the shades, you know, of the picture to see a clear picture. And so I'm one of the darker shades, what I went through. But I'll share that. And then, so the last conference I went to was really not as, informed as this one. And I expect the audience is all going to know. Everybody's kind of on the same page, especially with the other speakers you have that are there. Everybody's kind of like in the know. But the last one I went to wasn't like that. And so my presentation was based on evidence supporting my account. And I think that's important, because nowadays we're starting to get, and I believe that there are definitely some that are sponsored by three-letter agencies to dissipate the information. We're really seeing a kind, and if it wasn't important, then they wouldn't bother with us. But there, you know, it's clear that there is some dissipation going on, and there are people coming forward that are talking that are immediately getting huge platforms that have zero proof. They have zero, nothing checks out, and they just tell everybody what they want to hear. It's like way over the top. Like mine is a dark shade, like I said, of the picture, and we're getting people that are painting nothing but rosy colors of what's going on up there, and it's, we need to get to the truth of it. And so I'm going to present my evidence, because as an example, because everybody else that's speaking there does have a great deal of evidence too. So, yeah. You know, and because somebody doesn't have evidence doesn't mean that nothing happened, for, you know, to be clear, like I'm not that guy. I'm not a judge, jury kind of thing. And I'm not a researcher, but I just feel that people should be able to present something if you're going to talk publicly about it. I would never speak publicly about what I've been through had I not have something to support it publicly. So I'm going to present that, and then I'm going to go into the kind of the economics of this, of the human-based space program. So that's when I met with some other hardcore, and I'm not going to drop names on your show, James, but I met with some other people that are kind of the avant-garde, the old guys of ufology, the researchers. They're still hung up. They're still talking about Roswell, and they're still hung up on dollars. And so I'm putting together a little bit of research, and from my experience, that a lot of these programs are using slave labor, and the economics are completely different than what these researchers are basing their conclusions on. So I'm going to kind of go into that. That's going to be the gist of my spiel. And I'm honestly happy about being in the audience and watching the other speakers there. Like I'm a fan. You know, like I'm a kid in a candy store at this conference. I've been excited about this one since you asked me, Danny, over a year ago. And then when I saw the lineup just kind of mature and blossom, the lineup is just amazing. And I'm honored to be a part of it. Really, it's a big deal to me.
It's so exciting. It's so exciting. And James, you know, you were like the missing one. You were the missing final piece. You know, it had to be that the veterans, it had to be the old guard in all the best ways of using that term, you know, to really establish that now the rest of the people in the world that think that aliens and extra other species don't exist, they are now firmly in the minority, and they will stay there as long as they decide, right?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. You know, they asked me how long I've been doing this, and I said, basically all my life, you know, I've had contact, but I said, for 38 years, intensely, we've gone public and showed the evidence, the landings, the morphing ships, the ships coming out of the mountain, every color, size, shape of ship you can think of. We have so much evidence. It's, I don't even know what to do. I have boxes and boxes of video that we haven't even done anything with. But, you know, we have triple PhD Boeing engineers, Skunk Works people, even Air Force Base commanders have gone on coast to coast and testified that this is an ongoing thing. But the most censorship we're getting is from the UFO community. It's unbelievable. You would think that they were all about education, disclosure, making contact with spiritually and technologically advanced beings, create heaven on earth. You'd think they'd be kind of, that would be a good idea, don't you think? You know, but oh God, you know, they don't. And what Tony is talking about is the very people that don't want that, you know, that are, you know, the entire, I'd say, this is really sad, but I was asking the higher beings, you know, how much of the UFO community is ready for contact with spiritually and technologically advanced beings? And they said about 10%.
Wow.
And I just went, oh my God, you know, cause you really have to rise to the occasion. You've got to deal with your shadow side. You got to heal your past and raise your frequencies to work with these beings. And so, but they're not welcome in the mainstream UFO community, even mainstream Hollywood, you're not welcome there. But they are turning around finally. Like at Ancient Aliens, all you saw was my hand grabbing for a camera. They totally censored everything I said. I talked about who they are. We know them by name. We know their cultures. We know why they're here. We know their historical connections to Earth. And they didn't want to hear any of that. They censored. All you saw was my hand grabbing the camera in there. Yeah, they censored all that out. So you know, and they said in their own words, we're all about entertainment. We're not here to educate or bring out the truth. We're here for entertainment. So it's venues like the one you're putting on right now where the real information is going to come out. and get out there. And unfortunately, these venues are far and few between. You know, they're a lot. It's been usurped. And, you know, just to be brutally honest, there's a lot of satanic Luciferian influence in the community. Both Hollywood, both political and the UFO community have all got that going on. Mm-hmm. And so we got to weed that out. We got to clean all this out for the truth to come out. So we've got the line. We have the beings want to work with us. We've got the scientists on the earth that want to bring in these incredible healing technologies and clean up and restore the earth. We have everything ready to go, but we just don't have the outlet or the support for this. But it's really not time yet. We're really close, but one group has to fall. They have to implode, and they're in the process of imploding. And then the other group can come out and come forward and bring all this out. So, So I think we're getting very close to this total free fall, this implosion. And I do, I've always said this. I always tell people I don't have the whole pie. I've always said that. And I said this in 1995 at the International UFO Congress. I said, look, I don't have the whole pie. You know, I don't know all the details of the space fleet and the dark fleet and what's going on there. I have a great understanding of Lamaic traditions, yogic traditions, contact with the higher beings and things like that. But we have to bring all of it out. We have to bring we got to have the whole pie to understand what we're doing here. And I got a standing ovation there in 95, and they sold the biggest run on DVDs of anybody. And then they didn't invite me back. It was like for years, and about like 10 years later or 5 years later, all of a sudden they go, okay, well, we're getting such a call for you. We have to bring you back, you know, cause we're losing face here or something. Yeah. And they bring you back. But, and now I'm just like blackballed. You know, basically, which I'm okay. I don't need to do this. I mean, I'm ready for retirement, to be honest with you, but I'm going to keep going until things have flipped. And I know all of us are. We want to see this through. We want to see the flip happen and get back to creating heaven on earth versus this tyrannical slavery depopulation program that's going on now.
You know, when you look at the old groups you're talking about, their whole agenda, they were governed by three-letter agencies, for example, and it was always controlled what was ever going to come out. And if anyone in 2022 is still talking about bloody Roswell, turn the other way. It is ridiculous. It's embarrassing at this stage. How many more ancient aliens can you run, you know, or go, whatever? You know, Roswell, we are so past that. You know, like I've seen you say before, all you have to do is go on your channel, look at your footage. Hello, no need for Project Bluebeam. It's already happening, you know, and because it's already happening, there's too many of us now saying what we want to say because it's the truth. There's too many of us now coming out and saying, no, this actually happened. Here's my proof. Step aside, small one. Sit your ass down. We are moving forward. This is what it's taken. For us all to come together and say, get stuffed, off we go. You know, anyone who complains and attacks, bye-bye, go stand in the corner in your small shoes, be quiet, and we're going. Because it is a criminal tragedy that humanity has been robbed from the technology that you're talking about, James. And that little boys and little girls, Tony Rodriguez, have been abducted, kidnapped, murdered, tortured, off-planet, in military, Earth, governmental programs. No more of that. We are done. We do not wait for permission. We do not wait to be okayed. We come together and we push the fuck forward. Excuse me, French there. Sorry.
The F word. That's all right. You can say that on this. We're not even posting anything on YouTube anymore. We've just kind of, you know, I spent more time in jail with Facebook than I've been on the platform and YouTube as well. So it's just, they're done. I mean, we're on Truth Social now. We're on Rumble. We're on all these other, and then BBS. I mean, this show here is the gorilla. I mean, it's, you know, it's got, I think we have 110 sponsors or more affiliates, and we have 115 or 20 countries that this is going over. So good luck censoring that one. You know, they can't, you know, so.
I said, you know,
I don't even know how that happened. It just happened, you know? So there is a force behind this and behind the work you're doing too. And that force is coming into being. And this other force is imploding. They're not frequency specific anymore. But I want to get to Tony. God, there's so many things. I have a million questions, and I don't know if what's happening? What do you know as far as what's happening on the moon right now, and what's happening with the dark fleet and the tunnels, the underground tunnels, like in percentages? How much of that have we cleaned up?
Well, the truth is, James, I don't know exactly, you know, as it's happening, like current events. Like what happened to me was a while ago. And so I've been in the audience for a long time watching things unfold. I just have a different spin on it, you know, because when you work in, like if you worked at McDonald's and then you see the McDonald's in the news, you kind of have an idea of what happened in the kitchen because you know. Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, I mean, just to be a quick analogy there, that's kind of what my perspective is. My guess is that the Dark Fleet had a plan that was very nefarious for the world. And when we got to the point where they could no longer suppress their existence from us. Mm-hmm. So they got to, you know, there's our technology as, you know, where we're at the today, as of today, our technology holds us from discovering the, you know, just through telescopes and with computers, with our technology, discovering life elsewhere and the secret space program. So they had a plan, you know, to put us back in the Stone Age, to do something very bad. And then there's another plan from other ETs and from, you know, what we call them, white hats, do that. And I think we're seeing a blend of it play out right now. It looks to me like some of their plan is in play, but it's watered down, it's blended so that they're not going to put us in the Stone Ages, but they have to kind of slowly let off the steam of people, you know, because pretty much everybody knows, even the most diehard people that are, we call them sleeping or normie, even the most diehard normie knows that there's going to be life out there. Like people are starting to get the knowledge of how big the universe is and our situation. So everybody knows already. I did want to say this. You were talking about, you know, people aren't ready. 10% of the people aren't ready. And I think it's a chicken and the egg situation. I think that we've been programmed to not be ready. You know, they stunted the growth and they programmed. And I think once, you know, so you go, they're not ready, but once there is a disclosure, once the knowledge of smart ETs, you know, and not only that, but advanced and higher spiritual beings, like once the knowledge that heaven on earth, like you say, is possible gets out there, that 10% is going to explode quick. People are going to all of a sudden shift gears. Like people are smart, you know, they'll figure it out once they just want proof. They want to follow kind of the crowd to the what's safe. And we're not safe right now, you know, with the information, because so many people have been picked on for so long. So, but I think once the snowball goes and there's an officially, you know, like when we see that there are ETs that can, that are living very, very wonderful life, and with the knowledge that it brings, then everybody will get on board pretty quick. Everybody will get spiritual fast once they see that you know, most people are from Missouri. They're like, show me.
Yeah. I agree. What I was talking about, the 10% of, I'm talking about ready for personal contact with these very high spiritually and technologically advanced beings, because it's a matter of frequency. When you come into contact with these beings, you know, excuse my French, but all your shit comes up, and because your frequency has to match their frequency, and it's just sympathetic resonance. And so everything comes up, and most people will project their fear, their whatever on these beings, and they're going, whoa, wait, I'm just a mirror and an amplifier. I'm, you know, this is your stuff. I'll help you heal it. When you're ready to surrender this and let it go and take the next step, you know, but very few people are taking the personal responsibility to heal their shadow side and clear that out so they can raise their frequencies so they can have contact. As far as disclosure, I think the cover-up's dead. I mean, it's dead and buried, and it's 6 feet under. Actually, they buried them 12 feet under, because down deep, they're really nice people. It's gone. You know, I'll tell you, here's a good example. Here in Hawaii, there's the Hawaiian people, they love to hunt, they love their pig, and they do a lot of hunting. And so we had a major problem with pigs here going on. And I met a lot of these guys, and they're telling me stories that, you know, they're out pig hunting, and this ship took all the trees out, landed, leveled out the ground, left it shiny and flat. And then they fixed the ship, I guess, and took off. Well, these guys were hunting pigs and their dogs were running into the area where this ship landed, and they started floating in the air. And it freaked them out. It totally freaked them out. They got their dogs back and got out of there.
Wow.
They're out late at night. They're spotlighting. You know, they've seen so many things, and they know the ships are where they're coming out of the ocean here, and all this stuff. They're fully aware of it. And I really haven't really met anybody here, and especially like Native Americans. You talk to them, it's part of our culture. You go to Mexico, you know, and they go, yeah, ships, yeah, those are real. We want to see the spiritual stuff. We want to see the pictures of Mary and Kuan Yin and the other stuff. And so culturally, I think most countries and throughout Europe too, it's like they know the ships are real and everything else. And so that's dead, you know, you might as well just write idiot on your forehead if you're going to try to debunk the fact that UFOs exist and we're not alone. But I'm saying that we really need to bring out the personal responsibility of clearing ourselves, raising our frequency so we can interact with these beings. And I think they have, and we have, I know we have it. We have the technology that can actually heal and raise your frequencies and just, you know, kind of reprogram our DNA or whatever to be what it's supposed to be, you know, get rid of all the blockers and the patterns and everything else. And which is really interesting, but that's a whole different subject. But I was curious, Tony, you have other people talking to you. I'm curious. That's kind of how I get a lot of my information, is I know people on the inside. I know top scientists that worked at Area 51 and things like that. I know what we have. And some of them have been to the ranch and they've seen the ships at the ranch and said, that's out of our league. They said, we don't know who those are. When these things morph into three or four ships, one ship and do the things that they do, they said, those aren't ours. You know, and they see the bright purple and the greens and the different colors. But so it is a mix up there. I tell people, we have our own ships and we have the galactic ships. We've got all these councils that are helping us out right now, the Andromedan Council, the Orion Council of Light, the Palladian Councils, they're all working together to help us right now. And so the only way you can really determine who's on those ships is by your own inner sensitivity, being able to feel the consciousness on the ships and create a telepathic bridge. I'm kind of curious what you've gotten, you know, through your contacts or people just sharing with you, you know, what do you think's happening on, you know, moving towards that level, you might say.
So I think that the ufology all along has been very fragmented because so many different levels of development are interacting with us. So that's another kind of the false narratives. There's only 90 that have contacted, only 90 races or only 900 races that have contacted us. And that's not the reality. The reality is that literally billions of species can interact with, come to Earth, visit Earth and be home in the same day. It's not a long trip for them. And so we do get visits from millions and millions of different species that just pop in for their own agenda. And they have different levels of technology so that one experiencer is much different than another one. If you're a researcher doing that, I've dealt with a lot. People do contact me and I work with them. Usually it's along the lines of a military, military abduction, to people, not a ton of higher. What I've also found is that more places that are not in the United States, like the United States tends to be the secret space program or human based programs, not as many from other species that are interacting. When you go out of the country, like Australia, Europe, South America, then you're getting the more advanced spiritual abductions. You know, like I'd love to get out to East City. I want to come out and visit you, James.
You definitely got to come really see it.
And
it's a life changing experience because when those ships come in, a lot of them are coming in treetop level, you know, really low, and then we're going to show some of that footage. And when they power up, like William Henry was there and he was out in the field and the ship came in, just went boom, powered up, you know, and I go, William, did you see that? And he goes, see it. He goes, I felt it, you know, like this. And so, and that's what it's all about. You feel the connection. Everybody gets really giddy and really happy. There's no fear. There's no fear there at all. And there's a lot of protection in desetting too, because there are, we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent, you know? So we do have a lot of protection there, and they keep the other ones out. And I've seen them do that. I've seen ships turn into powder.
Wow. Yeah, I think fear is the big deal. I think fear is the big deal. It's obvious that they want us to be afraid just by what the media is doing. You know, when you any of the media that you look at is basically stoking a fear. And so that's if it wasn't important, they wouldn't do that, because definitely fear doesn't sell. If they were trying to make dollars, they wouldn't be showing people gore and fury, you know, scary things. So fear is a big deal. And if you can let go of it, like, that's what changed my life. There was a point in my life when I thought, no matter what happens, I'm just going to go with this. I'm going to quit being afraid of my shadow. And my life changed for the better quickly. And so I think that that's kind of the key to what you're talking about, to that spirit, to that enlightenment, is that people have to let go of their fear quick. And
one of the biggest fears is the fear of death, you know? And so a lot of people that had near death experiences, they've lost that, and they can't be manipulated or controlled anymore. And that's what I've seen, fear and everything external is that's how they control everybody. God is external, ETs are external, the whole universe is within you. And when people figure that out, nobody can control them, because they have all the information within, you know, and they can experience all the different dimensions and levels and everything. But they want to keep us in the body as a personality and in fear. And that just keeps us as kind of a subhuman being. And that's their goal, basically.
There's a saying, I don't know where exactly we're from, but we are the joy of death is hidden from us so that we may endure life.
Yeah.
You know, the joy, because I think that, like, when I'm a guy, unless, you know, I've lost people that are close to me and been saddened, but it's my loss, it's not theirs. Like, I'm actually, when I go to funerals and do that, like, I'm happy, because it's, to me, it's like more of a graduation for somebody, and that's what we're all going to go through. And so, you know, death I think should be, you know, I know I'm dancing on a touchy subject, but it should be celebrated in a manner. We should be happy that people complete, that there's a closure on your life. A lifetime is a beautiful thing, long or short. And death is a beautiful closure, and we're all gonna be there, and it just is a cycle. So, yeah, I think, like, that's part of that package of letting go of fear. Yeah. That's all in the same, it's all in the same bag. So
I like that when Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." You know, nobody knows what he's talking about when he said that, and because you're spiritually dead if you think you're just a physical body. But the, you know, when my parents, both my parents died, and people go, "I'm sorry," and I go, "I'm not." You know, and they go, "What do you mean?" And I go, "I really tried to mourn, but I couldn't mourn because they're not dead." And when you have a multidimensional mind or interdimensional mind, nothing dies, nothing's dead, and they're still there. And actually they're getting things they needed to get here on earth. They're getting it more, they're getting the teachings, the training, they're ascending levels, you know, they're having, and my dad's up on a ship right now. So he's up, he just went back home to his people, you know, so. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, it was weird because he would pull over on the highway and he said, "Get out." All the kids, we'd all line out and he'd go, "Look up," and be five ships hovering right over the car. Mm-hmm. And he was from New Mexico. So he had ships land on the highway and stop them and things like that. He had all these experiences. So he was totally supportive. You know, my mom had trouble with all of it, but, you know, bless her heart. She's figuring it out now on the other side. But the, you know, this is really funny. I was meditating and I felt my mom come in and she goes, "You were right." And that was all she said, was, "You were right." And that's all she had to say, you know, because now she's on the other side and seeing it, you know. You know, my dad went first and he came back to her, and my grandmothers are with her now. And she's going through a crash course in the universe, you know. so it's kind of interesting. So Dan, you've got another, who else you got speaking at the conference? You got quite the lineup.
Quite the lineup. Apart from yourself, James Gilliland and Tony Rodriguez, we have Alex Collier. And Alex Collier, this is his final public performance. And he's our long-term ancient 30-year-plus veteran and Andromedan contactee. He, as an Andromedan being himself, A lot of Orion Black League experience. I mean, a man that you do not mess with. Written books, struggled, sacrificed, suffered his whole life. And this is his final departure. And he's very serious about it. He keeps saying to me, Danny, this is my final public performance. So he will be there, and I'm having him open the conference. You know how some people go, let's save the best till last. Well, not only are all the speakers the very best of the very best, but I don't think it's fair to tease people. I don't like that psychological play that some people do. I'm like, no, we got Alex Collier online first, on stage first, live in the flesh, followed by Elena Danan, who surely as a woman has been taking the biggest beatings off some, well, one particular very aggressive hobot, a male hobot. Do you like that, James? Hobot. A male hobot. Yeah, like saying, well, whatever, dreadful things, and causing deliberate, disgusting division and trying to create team and sides. And I just think it's the most, I can't even find the word that's low enough, that the lack of the one-celled amoeba thinking that this would be a time to take sides. Like, are you awake? Do you know there's a frigging war going on for your soul? Do you not know your soul is the goal? Hello, go back to watching Orange Housewives, please, of Orange County. You know, because we've got some work to do out here, right? We've got some messaging to give here. So Elena Danan, it's interesting because she's here in the country. She's in America. We've been hanging out. We went to the Kennedy Space Center. Now, that is one amazing woman, you know, long-term veteran of Pleiadian contact. She's the emissary for the Galactic Federation of Worlds. You want proof? That girl's bought proof. You read her latest book? It is the full history of planet Earth. It is mind-blowing. So we went to this Kennedy Space Center the other day in Cape Canaveral. It was pretty amazing to see Elon Musk's number 39. He's A39. His platform, his takeoff platform is A39. NASA's is B39. I found that interesting. NASA being a big boy, right? What did NASA get demoted? Now Elon Musk is there. Because something came out today that I'm going to reveal at the conference, but I can actually reveal now because I just got permission. In 2016, Elon Musk was going to launch a SpaceX rocket and it blew up on the stand.
Yeah.
And what I got today was footage and proof from a French physicist called Chris Assoni, who's going to be at the conference, that a direct energy weapon from a drone from the Galactic Federation of Worlds took that rocket out before it even left, before payload, before anything. And there's footage of it, and it slows down and captures the actual drone that came.
I've seen that, actually. Right. Yeah, I've seen that footage. And I actually have that in my presentation, but not in this presentation, but in the other ones I do, because this one's just of the latest footage. But it's obvious. You can see the ship come in and pop, 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 and boom. You know, I know what was on that too. Did he tell you what was on that satellite?
The day was all about proving the gravitational, the physics, the chemistry, the mathematics of how it actually could happen to all the disbelievers. So that's what his presentation was about today. But no, please, what was on it?
Well, some things that we shouldn't have up there that were going to be very detrimental to the human race. And I think Facebook was involved in that too. I think that was, they had something on there, but I don't know exactly what it is, but I know it was something very detrimental. And they said, no, we're not having that. You know, there's a limit. You cross the limit, we're going to erase this thing right off the platform.
And that's so hopeful for us, right? So that then there are agreements and there's laws. Of course, the dark ones don't apply a single law at all. Let's be silly about it. But the Galactic Federation of Worlds reported in that you crossed a line, therefore we're taking you out. So anyone that's fearful of anything negative and dark taking over, they need to relax now. Because
I told them that. I said there's no way there's going to be a nuclear war. That's just to create fear and polarize everybody and everything else. They got it. You know, they can take anything out we throw up there instantly before it even takes off if they want and neutralize it. And they've proven that. They've proven that redundantly because they're here too. You know, they're not going to undergo nuclear war, not going to be under those clouds. So there's a limit and they can use all the scare tactics they want, but nothing's going to work when they try it.
You know, to me, James, the most basic thing on the entire planet for any single human that has any doubt or is the biggest skeptic in the world, just go and look up Solar Warden.
Yeah.
If your mental mind program is on planet Earth and you have to be told what to do and what to think and what to breathe, and you go by what government says, what military says, if that's your plug-in, great. Look up Solar Warden. There's the Earth military spacecraft above the Earth's atmosphere guarding our planet. There's your UFO. Earth has a mothership and it's real. It's not made up. It's actually right there.
Yeah. That's
all we, I mean, why are we not pushing that? Why is that not the most basic common knowledge to everybody? Wouldn't that not open a gazillion minds, James and Tony? Right there, Solar Warden.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't use rocket fuel to get that thing up either. You know, so people need to kind of rethink that. I tell people, you know, you've got to really go outside the box here, because right now everybody's going, okay, we can make water into fuel easily. Kerosene, we can make jet fuel, we can make diesel, we can make gas, whatever we want with it. And it'll actually burn in space because it burns, it doesn't need a flame, it burns, it has its own oxygen and everything. But amazing stuff. We have that technology. We have anti-gravity. We have counter-gravity. Anti-gravity just floats things. Counter-gravity propels things like 7,000 miles an hour instantly. We have all of that technology. It's in space right now. We've had it since the 60s. And now it's just finally coming out. And if we could apply that to the planet, we could take care of all our power needs. We could take care of all of our fuel needs. They have replicators. Nobody has to go without. You know, they have all that technology. We have it right now. Maybe Tony can talk a little bit about that, because I'm sure he's experienced it in space.
There's a lot of technology, and it all hinges basically on the manipulation of gravity. Like, that opens the door to the energy, free energy, and a lot of other technologies. In fact, there is a group, there are a research laboratory in New Jersey, and I'm going to screw the name up, Falcon Space or Space Falcon Incorporated, and they've manipulated gravity a very, very small amount in a laboratory with high voltage stuff. And I've been working with those guys about schematics because I saw inside the gravity plating, the grav mat plating. So on Ceres Colony, we had artificial gravity everywhere. I mean, miles and miles, literally like millions of square feet of powered flooring that created artificial gravity, because it was a microgravity environment, a small planet. But one day I happened in my travels to see inside. They had some of these tiles, and I saw what the innards look like the canisters inside. And one of these guys was at the conference, and they have a group that meets, like, they're trying to revert. Now that we have the UAPs, you know, the official thing, now academia has to follow suit. They got to figure it out. They can't just say, you know, you guys, really the scientists were very arrogant very short time ago. If you mentioned UFO or anti-grav, whatever, there's no proof. But now there's proof. They have to kind of, they got egg on their face, and these guys are mean business. These are, you know, a few hundred guys that meet in Zooms every so often, a couple of weeks, and they're getting the physics down. Like, James, I know you're talking about we're way ahead of it, but I mean, these are guys that are kind of like off the street that are, physicists. And they've manipulated gravity. And anyhow, they're building a mock-up based on my design from what I remember. Like, I don't know the stats or the voltage, but I remember seeing what the unit looked like, and I kind of drew a schematic, and they all started scratching their heads because it was a hexagon shape rather than, and he said one of these, and he pulled the small one out of his pocket of an operational experiment that they've already, like a canister, and I said no, it was hexagon shaped. And then another guy in the group said, you know, just like the hexagon on Saturn, you know, when you look in Saturn, how they got, he said, just like that, is that a gravity thing? And I said, I don't know. I remember them telling me that that shape was significant, that was the breakthrough on powering it for, a power output, running the thing on less power. And so they're in the middle of building a mock-up right now. They've been in touch with me, and he said they'll name it the Rodriguez flooring or the Rodriguez effect, if it works. They're going to have a full mock-up experiment going. So they had to retool. They have to build everything, you know, machine the parts. And so I'm excited about that. But I think that moreover, like, that's kind of a cliff note to what you're saying, James. Like, we're already there. Like, the technology is there. We really just need them to quit hiding it. You know what I mean? Like, every time somebody invents something, they swoop in and take it and sweep it under the rug. We just need that to quit, and we'll be right into the galactic age immediately. Like, we're already there. We're smart enough. We belong up there.
We built at the ranch there, I was meditating, and Baba G came to me and I said, how do I build these little yurts, you know, these cabins? And he said, hexagon. And I go, hexagon, why? And he said, look at a crystal, look at nature. Everything's hexagon, beehives, everything. He said that you work with the natural forces and then you're working with God forces, you know, and he was explaining that to me. So it does make sense. It all ties together. You know, you don't know at the time, you find out later, God, this all makes sense. And the energy in those little yurts is awesome. You go in there, it's just like the whole thing's a crystal or something. It's really trippy.
So beautiful. So beautiful. So talking of space technology, this is a Deems device, and this is based on the ancient Baghdad battery. So you have a copper rod, you have an iron rod, everything is wrapped in nickel. And what binds it together inside is beeswax, organic beeswax. Wow. There's 13 magnets all the way around. This is the 14th. And then it creates the vortex. So like I've had a heart condition and I don't have a pacemaker or anything. So anyone with a pacemaker or electronic, you know, artificial electronic, this is not for you. But I literally can use this and just calm, just breathe into the body and literally align all the electromagnetic frequency and wiring in my own heart. And a lot of people are using this device for many different things. So Chris O'Connor, who was also abducted at 2 years old, age regressed, ended up on Saturn as an ambassador for a department of the United Nations, true story. Who actually Tony is a good friend of, they've worked together. They've done some great disclosure together with their technologies. So Chris O'Connor is going to be at the conference, the galacticspiritualinformers.com, sharing this technology and dropping some of the biggest bombs that we haven't yet heard. And I am like this. I have to keep it in the vault until the day because we can't put it out on YouTube or Rumble because all the big boys are going to cry because, you know, the information is out there now. It's too late. You know, so bad. Yeah. Was it so bad? Too sad? Too sad? So whatever that phrase is to like, we're done. We're the army. We're moving. We're the army of love. We're the army of disclosure. And that's it. End of.
So are you going to have anybody covering Roswell on the...
If anyone is scared, I don't know what, honestly. You would
James, if you want, I'll write it in. James, if you ask, I'll write in a good 90 minutes.
Or an abduction or an abduction that happened 70 years ago or the same story. It's
Oh my God.
I mean, I have total respect for these guys telling their story. But I mean, when that's all you have is a 70-year-old story and you keep that's your headliner over and over again. And they're still going, oh, do UFOs exist? Well, there's evidence out there that something's going on, but we don't know what it is, you know?
Oh my God.
And we control narrative. I just go, are you kidding me?
I know. It's like mute. So last
blind
time,
eye to all the new evidence. They just turn a blind eye to it.
Right. Exactly. I did a live with Elena Danan last night here in my hotel room. And we'd been working with her energy frequencies during the day because she has visitors, like real physical solid visitors, her team that she works with, who I've also physically seen with my own eyes. I think that's one of the reasons why we've been such a tight team, her and I, is so that I am witness to her witnessing, you know, and we need these proofs. So last night we're on a live, sitting next to each other. And the orbs were off the charts, but they weren't regular orbs. They weren't your, and that's the other thing, James and Tony, I'm sure you guys know this. When an actual terrestrial energy is coming in, the frequency bandwidth is different. Your physical receptors and responses are different. So you get to learn the angelics, the beautifuls, the Jesus, the Baba G's, you know, the ancient, the ascended masters, that energy frequency is something that we come to know. But when they come, it is very different. It is different physical for me, physical representation, physical markers in my body. And I go, right, I know that energy frequency. I read it. And then I see the being, the galactic, the Pleiadian or the Andromedan. You know, it's very much something that we also need to be putting out there in the field so people can start to realize that it's not all the same. When someone's saying, oh, I'm channeling the nine, are you, love? That's funny, because as far as I know, the nine, the actual nine, they live in the void. They're in the void. It's a journey out. They're not going to come to you. Joe blogs in his living room, reading his Sunday paper, reading about Roswell and trying to come up with a new plan to be relevant. Like, we ain't got time for that either. YouTube content creators. James, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So there's been an absolute, you know, nonsense started with this silly Hobot boy in particular, trying to pull people over to his muscles and his story, because he's obviously desperate to be famous. No, he's not speaking at the conference. Yeah. Anyway, he's creating a shitstorm with the ancient, you know, Sumerian god story of Enki and Enlil. Yeah. I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah, I've heard that. And, you know, basically the bottom line is that if you talk about Enki and Enlil and Marduk, Marduk was a warrior. Even was it Alexander the Great paid homage to his grave, you know. But Marduk actually made a pact with the reptilians and a lot of what people call the Gray Alliance and that group for total supremacy of the earth. And Enlil was involved in that too. And the Enlil was always trying to wipe out humanity. He thought it was a bad idea, a bad experiment. And he thought we were noisy and thought we just needed to clean it up. And he was pissed off at Enki all the time because Enki kept jumping up the genetics and creating a god being that was like them. And that being actually started surpassing Enlil and the other guys and everything else, because the human genome is very, very powerful. And when you add the Lyrian genome to that, is what he was doing, you had this being that was in awe, that was totally, you might say, subjective to spirit. And because of that lack of ego and that service energy that they're under, they actually went beyond some of the Anunnaki, and it created a real serious rift. And a lot of it is people want to make a name for themselves. They want to be famous and they want to do it on the backs of others.
Yes.
And we're seeing that. And like you're saying, there's a lot of infiltration going on. When that was happening, I got accused of taking sides. And I said, no, I'm not taking sides. I'm here to help those who want to heal and clean up their connections and get the highest connection they can. I'm here for whoever wants to do that, but I'm not taking sides, you know, and I can see beyond what's going on. I see different layers of it and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to help, I won't mention any names, you know, I tried to help a certain person and that all flipped and turned on me. And it was the most ugly thing. I go, you gotta be serious. And it was a series of events and I'm not going to put it out there. Cause again, I don't want to, you know, that's not my job.
Anyway?
But everybody goes, yeah, you're taking sides. I said, no, I think everybody has a right to their story. They can tell their story. We'll see if it holds, if truth stands on its own merit. If it doesn't, it's going to fall. And it is. These people are imploding on themselves. And again, it's these people, their main goal is acceptance and approval outside of themselves. And they want the fame and their come from is off. And because their come from is off, other things are coming in. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that a lot. And I'm seeing these royal reptilians and serpent beings and stepping right in because people don't have the spiritual foundation to keep them out. And then they automatically will go opposite. They'll go opposite the light workers, what they're saying, because they want to again, climb on their back to for fame and things like that. And this has been going on for so long. And so every time I tried to help step in and help somebody say, this is what's really going on. There's a lot of past life stuff happening here. Let's clean this up. Let's sever these cords and move on. I end up being the asshole, excuse my language. And so I go, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I never did take sides in here. I go, this is a process. We're all going through this process. I'm on the healing. I want to help everybody heal, reach their highest potential. And that's where I'm coming from. And because I would talk to one, they go, you're in their camp. And I go, no, I'm not. I'm trying to help that person. I'm trying to figure out what's really happening here. Who's pulling the strings that you don't see. And then I even try to help those people do what they really want to do, but they have to get rid of these other connections and make the right connections so they can really be of assistance and be of help. But then if they're not strong enough, the other ones just, you know, I can keep them out for so long, but you can't go against somebody's will. And if the need for fame and platforms and all this other stuff is overrides their desire to evolve and go to the next level, then you can only help for so long, and then you have to go, okay, you need this experience.
Yeah.
So have fun with those royal reptilians and those serpent beings.
Deep psychological help is what you need. AI robots, yeah. And they have no idea how controlled they are, what mind programs, what wiring, what
happened. Yeah, some it's not their fault. They have families that were heavily involved in agencies and things like that. And they were manipulated at a very early age. And when you look back on their family and where they came from, and they're from Agencyville every time, you know. Yeah. And so I'm aware of the whole enchilada, you know, of what's going on. I mean, nobody has the whole truth, but I can see what's happening. And you know, it all boils down to, are you creating heaven on earth? Are you going to create all this chaos and division? And unfortunately, we let some of that chaos and division in, and the UFO community is famous for letting that in. And we just have to reshift our energy and say, hey, look, we want to clean up the past. To clean up the past, we need to know what our past was and what we've done in the past. And then we need to focus on the future. What, you know, because enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it, the whole enchilada, not just the light side. And I tell people, if you don't deal with your shadow side, you're never going to become enlightened. If you don't understand there is dark forces out there, they're going to sneak in and take over your whole soul program, you know. But anyway, it's like, you know, I like the work Tony's doing. I support all that. I want to get all the information out, and then people can see the big picture and say, this is where we've been, this is where we're coming from, and this is where we want to go. And then we can make an informed decision rather than just being in the dark about all of it.
Absolutely. I think that the viewer isn't dumb. Like there's a lot of people, there's a lot of bold-faced lies going on that come out. There's some huge things that, you know, like without talking about the things that are debatable, where you go, man, maybe one or the other, but people aren't dumb. And time, we told this, I think it was one of the first times I ever said this was originally when I met you, James, on your show a while ago, was that time is the greatest lie detector.
Yeah.
Time will tell. Yeah. You can go ahead and you can dance the dance all you want, but time's going to tell. Time's going to prove you right. Time is going to reveal your intention. And that's what we're going to see with this stuff. But the way you explained that between that without mentioning who or why was actually the... You explained it absolutely perfectly without mentioning really what it was about. So I'm like sitting here like in awe of what you just said, James. That whole 5 minutes was just amazing. So thanks for putting it in words like that so I can understand it.
Well, I've had so many things thrown at me. I always say thank you for establishing your ignorance and your character and have a nice day. That's my comeback. But I said, you think all the gossip is good last season? Here comes season two. You know, so we'll give you a lot more to gossip about, because I'm going to be everything you project on me. So have fun with that. You know, it's hilarious. But I love that meme. I just put it out on YouTube. You know, wait for season two, because you know, it's like all of us, we kind of know who we are. We're not infallible. None of us are perfect, but we know where our hearts are at, and we're all guided in the right direction. And that we're family. We're all kind of soul family. We're working in the right same. We all have a piece of the pie, and that's what we need to get to. And then we know there's other people that have different agendas, their come from is off. And until we can see through that, you know, we got to get past the pretty pictures, you know, and the exterior stuff and go within and see what's really happening. And it's going to be pretty scary when we do figure that out. But it's a process, you know, that we have to go through.
I think one of the greatest people of our time right now, who's so into the research, he has a PhD in exopolitics, like he's the doctor of exopolitics, and this is Dr. Michael Sala.
Yeah.
He's taking every piece of government, military, off-planet, secret space program intel and disseminating it down, getting years and years and years and years of proof, and then delivering it. And one of his latest to come forward on his channel, not in his life, is an army intel person who's known as JP. JP has been in Dr. Michael Sala's life since 2008. Yeah. And that man, that military, now army, is bringing the latest, most unbelievable information. Just last week, disclosing the huge city under Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was saying, I was here in Florida and I was in a store and I honestly felt like I was on my boat. I was overtaken with, you know, when you're on a boat and you're trying
to. Yeah.
I was like this. And I called Elena. I said, I don't know what the hell's going on, but something is kicking off underground here. There is water under here and it's masses of water. She said to me, did you not see Dr. Michael Sellers' broadcast today? I'm like, no, I'm shopping. I'm at the mall.
Yeah.
And I came back and I watched it and my mouth was just like, oh my God, oh my God. So all of this awareness that we have as spiritually connected, truthful, led by our hearts, have real life experience. All of us have real life contact. Not everybody has to have a tragic abductee story.
Yeah.
Right? Sadly, Tony is really tragic. But, you know, but this is the time now. Everything is amplified. Everything is there to be seen with those with the eyes to see and the hearts to open and the minds to accept. Because it's not really about the mind. It's about your consciousness. And that's where we're going. And those that haven't the ability to frequent their consciousness to where this planet is naturally ascending, you know, they're going to get a spanking, a bare-assed spanking.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, we're at the end of the hour, unfortunately. We've gone a little bit over, but I want you to give out the information on how people find out how to get in touch with your conference. I know you're live streaming too as well, right?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No, it's a 3-day in person.
Oh, okay.
In person with security. You know, protecting everyone, making sure it goes smoothly. There's almost 1,000 people in the room, 1,000 attendees in the room. Yeah. It is just, everyone needs to go to just galacticspiritualinformers.com. And the speakers are James Gilliland, Tony Rodrigues, Jean-Charles Moyen, Secret French Military, Elena Danan, Galactic Federation of Worlds, Alex Collier, Andromedan Contactee, Dr. Michael Saller, Sunbow True Brother, everything you wanted to know about the Yeti, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, he's our guy, he's our experiencer. Laura Eisenhower is going to be standing and finally fully exonerating President Dwight Eisenhower, her great-grandfather, with all of the proof of disclosure around her. We also have Lowell Johnson, who's been inside Mount Shasta, been into the city of Telos in Agartha, which is the inner world. I mean, we have so many of the utmost respected, proven long-term veterans of disclosure. Galactic Spiritual Informers, tickets close on the 18th. I made them open the day for two more because I was coming on your show today with Tony. We've got two more days to the 18th. That's it. And then it truly, truly shut down. So galacticspiritualinformers.com.
And Tony, you've got some new books out, I think, don't you? So how can people get a hold of you?
So I'm on, there's TonyRodrigues.com, has a link to my Patreon show, my memory course, my book, all my stuff that I do. I'm in the middle of working on my second book, and I thought I was going to be kind of off the hook as I wrote. The first book was very difficult. The first book was very difficult to write because I relived, you know, a lot of the bad things. So when I, you know, you had to put that in there. I was very candid in my first book, and I really, you know, it's shocking. It's not a PG. It's a very dark thing. So I included all the abuse, but in the second book, so I'm going back and I'm kind of going into the spiritual aspect of it. And when I'm reliving those chapters, I'm putting it down because I'm feeling like when I look back on what happened, it's like, it's sinking in that it was a lot more profound than what I ever thought it was in the early days. So there's a spiritual connection there and there's a reveal on the end about it. But the second book's coming along. And then I'm working with a couple guys on a series of, like a trilogy of fiction books that are based on the secret space program that I was in. Like I may be a character in the book that their characters meet. So it's like, I think that's important because that's how we get out to the masses. We need to kind of, excuse my word, this is what I mean by this, for lack of a better term, dumb it down.
So that
the masses can swallow it. You know what I mean? The reality of spirit, you know, of what's going on, of our situation that we live in the universe. So in reality. So that's going on. And like I said, they can follow me on TonyRodrigues.com. The conference is going to be amazing. And I just want to say the other people, like you were talking about the Deems device, I hurt my hand. I've got one of those too from Chris O'Connor.
Yeah.
He sent me one. I hurt my hand really bad and I could literally feel the pain go away when I waved it over it. It's an amazing thing, technology, no batteries. But there's a lot of things on there.
Tell Myra one.
Yeah, I'll refer him to you too.
I'll buy one from him.
I'm a big fan of Chris O'Connor. I saw his I saw his presentation in San Jose, and when he got off stage, I said, "I had no idea you've seen all my interviews and you're quoting me word for word on a few things." He did, and he said, "No, Tony, I've never seen any of your info." And I gave him a big hug, and I said, "You know, like, it was nice to know that you're the real deal, man." Because there were a lot of things he said that I've said in the past that he couldn't have known that. And it's, you know, because he's an experiencer. He's somebody that experienced it. So I'm a big fan of Chris O'Connor, and I'm looking forward to big things from him in the future.
Awesome. Hey, well, we're out of time, unfortunately, so we got to sign off. But awesome show, guys and girls. Brilliant. And persons. I don't know what we're supposed to say anymore. I'm totally politically incorrect.
We continue as before. We don't let the idiots that run our planet tell us to try and socially engineer it.
Exactly.
Like, we're girls and boys, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I agree. Keep up the good work. And I can't wait to get this pre-record out and get the Skype out. And we've got some amazing ships we'll be showing you, a lot of footage. And this is all just recent footage. It's not all, we have just tons of footage, but this is just recent. And here in Hawaii, we're having amazing contacts. Like 5 a.m, wake up, walk out, boom, ships right over the house, out in the ocean, you know, coming up out. It's crazy. But we're going to get that up on the site too as well. But anyway, unfortunately, we're out of time. I can't thank you both enough for coming on the show, and good luck with the conference, and we'll see you there.
Yeah. See you next week. 21st. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Great seeing you, James. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. See you. Danny, I'll see you next week.
Definitely. And you, James. Lots of love. Mwah.